Welcome to class number 6 of Counseling Youth, part 1. We're going to talk about two different things tonight. We're going to speak to you about dating, and also we're going to talk a little bit about choosing a marriage partner. Those are two of the most important things that one can do in life is date right and choose the right marriage partner. It's so important that young people date the right people. The reason for that is because who we're going to marry will come out of who we date. So to make sure of not marrying the wrong person, we need to make sure and date the right kind of people. So it's so important. If that's where your marriage choice will be discovered, then dating should be very selective and very carefully chosen. Notice first the problem of premature dating. When young people want to date too soon, one thing it does is create tension between parents and children. Sometimes young people want to date too early, and the parents know they're not emotionally ready for that. And so they try to hold back, and then the children are pulling another way. Premature dating too young, brings a lot of tension between parents and children. Then the dating process can be dangerous if they don't make the right choices. A young girl may choose some guy because he's popular in school, and then that guy may take her on a date one night and abuse her and create scars mentally in her mind that she'll never get over. So the dating process can be dangerous if a young person doesn't make the right choices. Then another problem with premature dating is that many are not prepared for new choices and stresses dating presents. Dating can be a very stressful thing. A lot of times when you start dating, maybe you're just dating to have someone to go somewhere with, and that other person, they want to get serious after two or three dates, and they're ready to get married. Well, we have to be careful that we don't date too early, lest a lot of that stuff happens. And we'll talk a little bit later about what the criteria is for determining how long that a person should wait before they date. Then another problem is kids face intense pressure from others. It's social pressure to go out with someone. And really, if some young people don't date somebody, they can be looking as antisocial, or that can become their badge of acceptance. To some young people, dating becomes an evidence of their worth or attractiveness. If they don't date, they don't think they're worth anything. If they don't date, some think they're not attractive, when neither one may be true. And then a few assert their independence by going where they choose, with whom they choose, and many times they just date because it's expected from their peers that they date. Notice the causes of premature dating. Their decisions in dating, and one of those is when to start. Now, some parents think their children ought to be a certain age, maybe 14, maybe 16, maybe 17, before they start dating. But I really don't believe that's the right criteria. Some may be mature enough to date at 15, or some at 16. Some may be more mature at 14 years old than they are at 17 years old. So there's no certain age to start dating. All that depends on the young person. Now, what is really important is not the chronological age to determine whether a young person's prepared or ready to date. The main thing is this. It's whether or not that young person is spiritually and emotionally mature enough to handle the decisions and the dangers of dating. There are decisions in dating. There are dangers in dating. Some people may be mature enough at 15 or 16 to date. Others should probably wait a little bit longer. Here's some of the key indicators of a teen's readiness for dating. Number one, these questions, if they're answered, we'll let you know that. Is he or she often influenced by peer pressure? That can get a young person in a great deal of trouble if they do what they do on the basis of what their peers feel like they ought to do. That can be very dangerous. Then another question, is he or she most attracted to people his or her own age? And that's important. I don't think it's good for a young person on a general basis to want to date someone several years older than they are. So if they're attracted to people their own age, it wouldn't probably make you want them to let them date earlier. Then another question, does he or she intend to date for friendship instead of romance? And that's good. If a young person wants to have friends of the opposite sex and not crazy over romance, then that young person is mature and they may be ready to date. That's one consideration. Another question to ask to determine a teen's readiness to date, has a teen committed himself or herself to sexual purity and determined not to compromise that commitment? That's so important. I wouldn't mind a teenager dating at an early age, whether it be a young man or a young woman, as long as I knew and felt they were determined to keep themselves sexually pure and not have sexual relations when they shouldn't be doing it. Another question to ask, does the young person have his or her parents' permission to date? That's important. If it's not in cooperation with the parents' will, if they're sneaking around and dating and meeting someone somewhere, that's not good. There ought to be parents' permission to date. Then here's another question. Is the teen's self-image based on whether or not he or she's dating? Your worth is not determined by whether you're dating or not. And we need to stress that to young people. Just because they're not running with the crowd all the time or dating somebody all the time, it doesn't mean they're not important. Maybe they have a poor self-image and feel like they've got to do that to have the right image. Then another question, is he or she able to resist immediate gratification in other areas? In other words, does a person strive to do what's right and not want immediate gratification? Now, if they want immediate gratification, if they got to have it, then that can be very dangerous in relationship. Another factor is not only the maturity factor when you're making decisions about dating, but as well, there's the age factor. 5 years difference or 6 years in age, that can make a big difference between people. One may be much more mature than the other, and I think it's good to see some maturity in a young person before they start dating. The reason for this is the teen years are a time of physical, emotional, and spiritual changes. Things are happening fast in that young person's life, and sometimes things happen so fast that they're just not able to handle it. Young boy, he'll have a high voice, and all of a sudden his voice starts going down. And other things happen within a person's body, and as they mature, as they grow older, a lot of things they don't immediately understand. But the central issue is not the age, the chronological age, as important as the spiritual and emotional maturity. Are they spiritually mature? Is that young person of yours that's wanting to date, are they emotionally, spiritually and emotionally mature? Maybe there doesn't need to be more than 1 or 2 years difference in age when it comes to an adolescent. Then there's interracial dating. Now, the Bible doesn't forbid interracial marriages, but we have to be realistic about it. There are social implications that can't be overlooked and failed to consider. The Bible does not condemn racial marriages, but it pays a person to consider social problems that might come depending on the area in which you live. We want to think that racism is gone, abolished. That'd be great, but it's not. It's very much real and very much alive. So a person needs to be wise in their choice whether to interracially date or not. Then there's missionary dating. Some people think, well, I'll marry this person. They're not right with the Lord, but if I marry them, I'll win them to the Lord. It doesn't always work that way. In fact, it seldom works that way. Sometimes it does. But the Word of God tells you whether to do that or not. Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, you say, well, Paul's just talking about dating. Oh, no. It implies to business entanglements, who you in business with, who you're going to share a company with. It applies to business, and it also applies to romantic involvement, such as dating and also marriage. You're be careful not going to business with an unbeliever. You're not to marry an unbeliever. In fact, if a person's unsaved, be careful about looking to romance with that person. Really, the reason is this. There's not one single eternal value or interest that they have in common with the believer. There's God's will, God's ethics, God's kingdom, God's family values, God's husband-wife relationship. Really, when there's a believer and an unbeliever, what they could be called is near strangers, values and ethics and desires, spiritual things are entirely different. Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian's not to be around non-Christians. How are you going to win somebody the Lord unless you talk to them and you're around them? But on the other hand, the Christian young person that gets involved romantically with a non-Christian, here's what they're doing. They're crossing a line of protection and provision that God's Word has drawn up for us. God's not trying to keep people back from something that's good, but God is in His commands. The commands, whether it's directly from Jesus or through the Apostle Paul or John or whoever in the Bible, God is drawing a line of protection and provision. That's what the Word of God does. God's trying to protect us and provide for us in the Word of God. Let's look at some dangers in dating. One danger is isolating yourself from your friends. Sometimes you get involved, so involved with one person, that other people are pushed back in your life. That is, folks outside your home. You isolate yourself from your friends just to be around one person. And sometimes that's not good. It all depends on the situation. There's another danger, and that's forgetting other important relationships that you have in your life, like your brothers, sisters, and parents. In other words, you can want to run so much that you're not spending adequate time with your brothers or sister or your parents. And there's a danger in that. And then there's also the danger of dating for the wrong reason. Let me give you some of those wrong reasons. One is dating to impress your friends. You should never date just to impress somebody. And then some date to get back at somebody. A girl may be dating a boy or a boy dating a girl. They may have problems, and all of a sudden they'll try to involve somebody else they really don't care about, but they're just trying to get back at the person they were dating. And that's not good. And then some date to cause jealousy. Use that date to just make somebody else jealous, and that's not helpful. Dating can become a powerful game. And what they try to do is use love to gain power and prestige, when that should not be our motivation. And then here's another danger in dating. You can get so date conscious that even within your church youth group, a young person would only talk with those that they thought, well, he's a potential date or she's a potential date. And then you forget about everybody else in the youth group, and all you care about is that one person. That's not helpful in your spiritual life. You need fellowship with the brethren. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Then there's a danger of feeling trapped once you start dating a person. When you date, you may be entered into a relationship, and a lot of times that other person will feel like they own you. if you date them a time or two or three, they feel like they're your owner. Well, that's something that will hurt a person, and you'll feel trapped when you start dating a person. Automatically, they're that possessive. Then there's the danger of getting hurt and hurting someone else. A lot of people are hurt. I've been young people that have committed suicide because a relationship broke up and they felt like it was the end of the world and they couldn't go on any further. They were damaged and hurt even to the point of suicide. Then there are the dangers of mistaking emotional and physical attraction for real love. There's a danger of letting sexual desires get out of control. And young people need to watch that because their bodies are going through changes. Things are happening. Their hormones are high level. And it's a dangerous time when a person is a young person. Let's look at the design in dating. Not only the dangers, but the designs. And there may be three different designs that have things involved in this we need to consider. One is purpose. One purpose of dating is socialization. In other words, it's a way to learn more about yourself. It's a way to begin to interact with others and sense their needs and begin to feel with another person, feeling their feelings. Socialization is one purpose of dating. Another purpose is mate selection. You date because one day you're probably going to marry somebody you're dating. We've already touched on that a little. So the typical progression is from casual dates to friendship dates to steady dating. Then comes engagement and then marriage, depending on how far that beginning relationship goes. Now, one purpose for dating, it should not be sexual exploitation or experimentation. You're to keep yourself pure. A young person's body, if they're saved, is the temple of God. It's not something to share with somebody else. It's not something to socially experiment with in a sexual way at all. So socialization and mate selection are sound purposes for dating, but certainly not sexual exploration or experimentation. Purpose. Then let's notice standards. You can form your standards by asking several questions. Let's look at these questions. Number one, should I confine my dating activity to double dates? In other words, should I just date alone with somebody, or should I start out by double dating? And then, well, let me stop, go back just a little. That double dating activity can be good as long as you're double dating with other good young people. But if you're not, it can be a detrimental thing. Then should I frequent only public places, not get along on a back road or in places that are set back somewhere where something could happen that shouldn't happen? So there are standards. Should I go in just public places or should I go somewhere and be alone? That's an important question to ask. Then another question is, what forms of touching and interaction are acceptable? How far are you going to let touching go? What areas is that young person going to allow somebody to touch them? And then what type of activities should they avoid or refuse? So what it comes down to, every young person needs to learn where to draw the line. Now, let me give you a progression that's mentioned in our textbook. And we're going to start out small, then we're going to work our way up. Now, think about, as I'm giving you these things, where the young person ought to draw the line. All right, let's look at these. First of all, young people may start necking and holding hands. Then there may be hugging. The next step may be casual kissing or peck kissing, that kind of thing. That can evolve into prolonged kissing. That can go into French kissing. And then their breast involvement and then breast bared and then p- petting genitals covered and then bare, then maybe even oral sex or genital to genital intercourse. Now, where does a young person draw the line? I believe the line ought to be drawn at the third step, casual kissing or peck kissing, not prolonged, not French kissing, not handling private parts, whether clothed or unclothed, then that would result a lot of times in intercourse. So you need to draw the line, I think, at casual kissing for young people. Let's look thirdly at plans. The final step in framing a sound design for dating is planning. An attractive option is group dating. Maybe couple go, or four people go, or six people go in dating. So in group dating, a male and female get together to do different activities. They don't just pair up and they go where to go. They decide where to go. The group decides what they're going to do, and everybody goes along. Everybody pays his or her way, own way. It's that kind of thing. Now, a lot of teenagers like group dating because it takes away that sexual pressure of dating just one person. You're with a group of people, and it's easier to stay pure most of the time in a situation like that. Another consideration is to plan for a climate which two people become friends. Two young people don't have to date, and after two or three dates, get romantic. No, they can do other things. You could play miniature golf, walk around the zoo or window shop, walk through town, all kind of things that you can do. You can make a long list. And as you do these things, you find out more about that person, their likes, their dislikes, what's happened in their life in the past. You talk about things, and that helps you really begin to know someone. There are other good activities, maybe jigsaw puzzles, games, watching sports, a lot of different things. Walking through the neighborhood, going to the mall, cooking together, trying to make a dinner. This list could go on and on and on. So, you could use your own imagination with that. There's another key to planning the dating experience, and that's to map out responses to situations that might arise. For instance, like these questions. How much money will I need to spend? Will I have enough? You're not to overspend and have somebody else have to pay your way. Then how will I respond if my date wants to get physical? Every young person needs to settle that. And I mentioned a while ago, how far are you going to go? Are you going to, is a young person going to take a date beyond casual kissing into French kissing and all that other stuff and working on toward something that absolutely should not happen? And then we need to ask this question in dating, young people do, under what circumstances will I put a stop to the date, to the relationship? I would say if a person tries to violate the sanctity of your body, it's time to break off a relationship. That's for marriage. That is only, the sexual relationship is only within marriage, with no exceptions. Then we need to ask, how will I react if others around me act inappropriately? If you're with a group, going somewhere with a group, or you're double dating, and there's drinking alcohol or smoking marijuana or cocaine or something like that, how are you going to react? Well, I tell you what, that's a difficult question, but I certainly wouldn't have a prolonged activity when all that's going on. In other words, if somebody begins drinking or smoking pot, cocaine, there may be an accident. Something horrible might come out of that. Then another question is, how will I evaluate whether the date was a success or not? That'd be a good question to ask. So teens should make their mother and dad know three things. Number one, who the teen is with. They need to know who you're going to be with. This sneaking around behind mom and dad's back, when they care about your interests and your welfare, they need to know who you're with. And then another thing, they need to know where you are and where you're going. That's important. Who you're with, where he or she is, and where you're planning on going from where you are. Three important things. Let's look at the response to the problem of premature dating. And, I'll just let you do that. We're going to run out of time, so you can look in the book and see the response today. Let's talk about choosing the right marriage partner. That's a very important thing. And there are two important decisions that a man or woman is going to make in life. That's number one, whether or not to follow Jesus. That's the most important decision. And the second is, who is the young person going to marry? Now, here's the question of the right one. This is important, too, to those that do not believe in divorce. They want to marry once, and they will marry for a lifetime. And that's noble, and that's God's ideal. One man and one woman for a lifetime. But even when a person isn't considering marriage, when they meet somebody for the first time of the opposite sex, a lot of times the question runs through the mind, is this the right one? A lot of young people, they look at divorces, they see unhappy marriages, and they wonder if they get married, whether they can expect any better than that or not. They see mismatched couples, and when they see all this, and they see so much confusion sometime between their mom and dad, they worry about making the wrong choice. They see abusive relationships. Maybe the dad abuses the mother, and they're afraid to get into a relationship because they might be a victim of a poor choice. Many are motivated by determination not to repeat their parents' mistakes. They just don't want to become another divorce statistic, and I don't blame them. What young people want to find at some point in their life is a true, lasting love that's found in marriage. But some are slow to date and go because they're afraid they're going to make a mistake. Let me say this, a young person will not make a mistake if they allow the Lord to guide them. Let's look at causes of problems in choosing the right marriage partner. Number one's not being the right person. If you're not the right person, you're not going to make the right choices. So be committed to God and be ready, if necessary, to make a lifetime commitment. You be a faithful person in before God and also when it comes to someone else. Then there's looking for the wrong person. Some young men and women look for the right one without realizing they're looking for the wrong one. They got pictures in their mind of what's the right one. If a girl's thinking about a guy, they want someone to be muscular and domineering over others, and their protector. And we get things in our mind of what we think our mate should be like. Well, some, their criteria is physical beauty. If it's a charming person or she's a charming person, a mannerly person, and that's good to want all that. But spiritual characteristics are the most important. Another thing that causes problem in marriages, potential marriages, is having the wrong motives. Maybe they made a mistake in dating, and marriage is the result of unwise and ungodly motives. Some people want to get married for the wrong reasons. I mean, all they have in mind is the physical, but I want to tell you there's a whole lot more to a lasting, satisfying, gratifying relationship than the physical. There are poor reasons for getting married, and in our book there are several listed. One is senior panic. Well, everybody's getting married. When I got out of high school, the thing of it was, if you wasn't going to college, who was you going to marry? That was just the way it was back then. Now, it's not so much that way now, but it certainly was many years ago when I was in high school. Then there's the old maid syndrome. People think that all the good ones are taken, and the right one will never appear because everybody else is getting all the good ones. No, if the Lord meets a young person to be married, the Lord will send along that right person. Then another poor reason for getting married is the great escape. Some get married just to get out of a troubled home. I tell you what, if that's the motivation for getting married, you're liable to wind up in more trouble if you marry the wrong one. So some marry because of a bad home life. That's what we call the great escape. And then some marry on the rebound. Maybe there's a painful breakup with someone they've been dating, and they have this emotional vacuum. Or maybe they just want to take revenge on that person that hurt them, and then they get married. Well, that's the wrong reason for marriage. And then there's pressure play. When a couple's parents push them to marry, they often marry. Some parents don't treat their children right. I mean, they want to push them into a marriage. That's not good. And then there's the meet my needs. Many want to marry to have their own needs met rather than live to meet the needs of their spouse. And then some are married because of crisis pregnancy. So many couples don't do right sexually, morally, and they wind up marrying. Well, should a person, just because somebody gets them pregnant, if a young girl gets pregnant, should she automatically marry that person? Not necessarily. Not if that person's not the right kind of person. Then notice a biblical perspective of choosing the right marriage partner. There are three key questions. Now, how do you know which is the right marriage partner? Is there only one right person? Now, if God's called you to be married, He does have somebody for you, and I don't have any doubt. I believe the Lord had Linda Tipton for me. I made a walker out of her, or I'm still trying to. But I have no doubt God had Linda for me. And you want to be able to come to the point of saying, well, I know this one is right for me. Some people say that God doesn't have one particular person picked out for you. But one thing about it, a Christian is only to marry another believer. That's 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, I know God's sovereign, and I know we have human responsibility. I know God leads us to a partner if we're looking to Him. But at the same time, we have the human responsibility to choose that right person. Now, how do you know if you found the right person? I know our time's running out, so we're going to have to move quickly. Well, you know you've got the right one for sure. On that day, you stand in front of a preacher and you say, I do. Now, until that day, you probably won't know for sure. But after that day's settled forever, I mean, you're going to live to make that marriage work. Do everything on your part to make it work. You make the choice on your own, and then when you've made it, you hear the door locking behind you. At that point, your choice has suddenly become God's choice as well. God's main focus is not compatibility, but God's main purpose is commitment, saying, I do, and stick with it until death, if at all possible. So when you get ready to prepare for marriage, you know you're going to share a lifetime with that person. There'll be an engagement and then the marriage ceremony. Now, couples talk about marriage a good while before it happens. And it takes some time. How long should an engagement last? Well, there are two guidelines. Number one, it should last long enough to prepare. Some say planning a wedding ceremony takes up to 6 months. And then another thing, the engagement should be short enough to avoid problems. And some people date so long, they get more and more intimate. And the next thing you know, there's too much temptation and something physical happens that's not to happen until the marriage bond. A length of 3 to 12 months is a good range for engagement. Now, you date a while before that, then you get engaged. And sometimes maybe between 3 to 12 months after that, you marry the person. A good question, choosing marriage partner or several, do you help each other grow close to God? Can you talk? Can you pray together? Can you work together? Do you have mutual friends? Are you proud of each other? Are you on the same level intellectually? Do you have common interests, share the same values? Do you feel comfortable about how you make decisions together? Do you want to help each other emotionally? Do you have trust in that other partner? Can you accept and appreciate each other's family? And that's important. Can you accept that person's family? And then do you have unresolved relationships in your past? Is sex under control? Have you spent time together? A year of real closeness is the minimum. Now, let's look at some scriptures quickly. We're not going to see Ephesians 5, 21 through 28. That's quite a lengthy passage. You can look that up. But Ecclesiastes 9, 9 says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that which is thy portion in this life and in labor, which thou takest under the sun." Proverbs 18:22 said, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 4:3 said, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." And how do you do that? Well, marriage. Marriage is how you avoid fornication. Then 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what right fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Hope this study's been helpful to you. These are two important issues involving young people, dating and marriage. God give us wisdom as leaders, as older people, as we counsel young people, to lead them in the right way. Give them the right information so they can make the right decisions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.